I'm trying to get myself in a better mood tonight. You know, I don't follow football like I used to. The Giants over the last bunch of years pretty much helped me fall out of love for the NFL. But I saw late tonight what happened to Damar Hamlin of the Buffalo Bills. And, you know, everyone out there, keep him in your prayers. You know, he had a tackle, looked like he got hit in the chest a little bit, collapsed on the field, rushed him to the hospital. He's in critical condition. I mean, even if you don't follow football, that still just really just breaks your heart. Hate to see stuff like that. And I got to be honest with you, as Garth posted earlier, I had every plan on showing you Oche Wanneri, 38 years old, of the Jacksonville Jaguars, just passed away of a heart attack. You know, and look, I don't want to get into any political shit tonight, but, you know, what really upset me more about the Damar Hamlin situation is right away you got some very important people out there blaming it on COVID vaccinations. I'm like, oh, come on, man. You don't know what the fuck happened. You don't know why it happened. Shut the fuck up. If something comes out later that attributes to it, then you talk about it. I just, not the right place, not the right time. So just wanted to throw that out there before we do the show tonight. Happy New Year, everyone. I hope your 2022 New Year's Eve was good, fun, a little reflection, a little anticipation of what 2023 has in store. You know, I got some New Year's resolutions for myself personally. I have a few for the shows as well. But the most important is I hope everybody has a really good 2023. At least let's hope it's better than what it was in 2022. And I truly believe 2022 was better than 2021. So let's build on it. Let's have fun. Let's start off the right way. And tonight, you know, not for nothing, not a bad Raw to kick off 2023. You had your Usy World Order, as I like to call them. They interrupted the intro tonight, invading the show. We're taking over. And that led to a few matches tonight, which we'll get into later. There was something that was really, really bothering me tonight about one particular match. Oh, we'll have some fun with the country music star Hardy. Funny thing about that was I was in this room preparing for the show. And, you know, Elias, you know, I'll just tell you right off the bat, because we don't do, you know, blow-by-blow, every play-by-play of what went on Raw tonight. We just overall highlight it, get into the good points, the bad points. If you want to watch it, that's up to you. The reason why I came in here during the Solo Sikoa-Elias match, not that there's no way that Solo Sikoa is losing this soon, but the thing was, you know, if you saw what happened at the beginning of Raw, and in the back, Elias is demanding a street fight from Adam Pearce against Solo Sikoa. No, I don't just want a match. I want a street fight. That guy bashed a guitar over my head. I swear on a stack of Bibles, go back and watch it, and you'll see I'm not exaggerating this at all. The match came on the TV. I look up at the screen, and what does Elias do right off the bat? This is something that I've talked about on my hotlines going back to the 90s that just really, really gets under my skin. The motherfucker wants revenge so bad, street fight. He put a headlock on Solo Sikoa. He put a headlock on Solo Sikoa. And I'm like, it just flashed back to the 90s. Like, how many times, oh, I want to kill this person. I want to beat the fuck out of him. I want to do this. I want to, and then you finally get your hands on him and you put a headlock. You do a arm drag takedown. I mean, he didn't do that tonight, but a headlock. I was like, no, I'm going in the other room. So as I'm setting up for the show, I hear Hardy. And I'm like, whoa, whoa, whoa. I know it's not Matt Hardy, because even if they were going to get him out of his deal, it ain't happening that quick. And it certainly isn't Jeff. I'm like, Hardy who? Hardy who? Hardy who? And it's some country music star. And for those that didn't see it, I know we're a little out of place, but I got to show it to you now. Now, since we're talking about it, this guy is at ringside. Now, they're in, you know, Music City. So obviously it's a big deal. you know, that they're, you know, in that neck of the woods. And Hardy is a country music star. So they popped when they seen him sitting at ringside. So anyway, during this match, he decides to hit the ring, try to smash a very thin guitar over Solo Sikoa's back. Solo Sikoa just turns around, no-sells it, and Hardy gets out of Dodge. And this is the spot right here. Smashes the guitar over Solo Sikoa's back and did nothing. Then, like, I watched this guy closely, and I don't know if you all saw on my social media what I saw, but I'm looking at this guy, and I'm like, with all due respect, I know I'm a chunky monkey, and I know sometimes I could be a little bit of a slob, but I'm looking at this guy, and I'm saying to myself, he fucking reminds me of someone. He reminds me of someone. I can't put my finger on it. Any of you out there, who does this guy remind you of? Now, I know some of you that saw my Twitter already know what I wrote, but I'm looking, and then it hit me. It hit me. This motherfucker looks like Michael Moore. And here is the best part of it. Now, look, this is not about politics, but whenever I see Michael Moore, he just looks like he smells like the opposite of what Manscaped does to you. He looks like he smells like a store-bought turkey that you accidentally left in the trunk of your car for a week in the summertime. You know, you were going to barbecue it in the summertime and you left it in the trunk. That's what Michael Moore looks like. I can't imagine anybody, male, female, combination thereof, going down on this guy. You know, I know he's old now, but I've been feeling that way about Michael Moore for years. But let me show you something. I was going to show you the after effect, but I figured it would be more fun if we do this live. That's a screenshot from today. Now, these are little disturbing things that I pick up on that maybe a lot of you do not. All I am going to do live on this show right now is take my mixer program from the video that I am streaming, and I am going to add some white stretch to it. And as I make this brighter, your screen is not playing tricks on you. What the fuck is wrong with this guy? Look at that. What is that? This guy's got sweat patches. He's got like remnants of vomit on his left shoulder. That is not a doctored photo. I swear I will never do another show ever again. Oh, look, this is the photo. This is literally what you saw tonight. All I did was this. What? Why would you put that on your screen? I'd rather have Rick Ross turn around and go, "You big motherfucker." What is that? What happened? What did he do? I mean, how do you sweat like that? Now, if his whole shirt was covered in sweat, I'm like, okay, it's probably hot in the building. How do you sweat in patches like that? I mean, why wouldn't security give him a Cody Rhodes shirt or a WWE Raw shirt or something? Fucking damage control. How do you say, yeah, that's great TV? You look at him at ringside. What is that? That's awful. That is disgusting. If you think I doctored it, just go get the footage, take a screenshot, and then just add brightness to it as hard as you can go and see what I see. I don't know what happened. I don't know what that is. And here's the worst part about it. It doesn't look like sweat. It looks like stains. And that motherfucker, actually, maybe that's part of his gimmick. Maybe all his country music is about, hey, I live in the woods, I can't afford soap, and blah, 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 and I want to. How do you leave your house like that? Oh, my goodness. By the way, Dominic Mysterio is still in jail. My friends, where the fuck do they live? I didn't know you could have bling while you're in jail. I didn't even know you could have toothpicks while you're in jail. You know, wouldn't you think like you could like poke somebody in the eye and steal their key and just break out of jail? That's Dominic. Listen, I'm digging Dominic. I almost feel like Dominic Mysterio's got to win an award for 2022. Maybe Rookie of the Year. I mean, I don't know if he would be considered a Rookie of the Year because didn't he wrestle in 2021 too? Yeah, we had the potted plant in 2021. Remember? Angie? Remember the whole storyline? Aaliyah? So, by the way, This was him in the cop car when he got arrested. The footage from Christmas. I got a little audio for all of you out there. I joked about it on the watch party on Friday night. Shout out to everybody who hung out in the watch party Friday. In fact, we got a little giveaway for tomorrow's NXT watch party. I know I said we're not going to do giveaways all that often, but I was checking out some stuff in the house tonight, and I found this in an envelope. Nikita Lyons, JSA authenticated. So tomorrow, somebody who is at the watch party is actually going to win this Nikita Lyons signed photo. Legit stuff. So come by tomorrow. Hang out. You can't just show up and say hi and leave 30 seconds later. You know, stay a little while. So, but anyway, Benjamin says he was out of jail. What the fuck was he? What room was that in? I don't know, man. Anyway, it's funny. Dominic says, oh, jail changes you. I'm like, yeah, it kind of like changes jewelry too. But getting back to the arrest video, when he got arrested at his father's house, I got a little audio from it, everyone. This is actual audio from Dominic Mysterio's arrest. Yeah, listen closely.
Did I get rid of my Miranda rights?
We had to get Velveteen Dream in here somewhere. Why didn't they do that, everyone? Why didn't they do that? Why didn't they spoof Velveteen Dream? And Dominic Mysterio should have said 1,000 times, you didn't read me my Miranda rights. Essay. Here I am. I'm looking at the camera. And meanwhile, I'm like, essay. You didn't read me my Miranda rights. You didn't read me my Miranda rights. Say that fast 10 times. How the fuck did Velveteen Dream say that fast 20 times? I can't even say it fast twice. You didn't read me my Miranda rights. You didn't read me. They're doing a good job with Dominic. He's going to get his ass kicked at WrestleMania. Rhea Ripley is going to be in his corner. We got to see if Rey Mysterio ends up giving Rhea Ripley a 619. I think that is happening. So, by the way, forgive me if I am sweating. I have lights on in this room that should not be on right now, and leave it to New York on January 2nd to be almost 60 degrees today. It is so hot outside. Like, I actually like when it's 10 degrees out in the wintertime. This room feels so cool. So I am sweating tonight. Sorry. And the show will be a little quicker than usual. We're going to start tightening these up a little bit, especially since we're kicking off 2023. But one more time. Man, he totally fucked up his career, man. You know, not for nothing. I think Velveteen Dream legitimately practiced that. I think he was in his house one day and he's like, look, I'm going to fuck up and I'm going to get arrested. And just in case, you know, you almost like look at a pamphlet, like what to look out for if you get arrested. And if they don't read you your Miranda rights, make sure you get that on video. Make sure you say it 95 times. I can't turn the lights off. Then it'll be too dark in here. So we had the Michael Moore lookalike tonight with vomit on his shirt getting involved. But you know what? The finish of that match was freaking sweet. You know, after we thought Solo Sikoa was going to pin Elias with the Samoan spike, there was a piano outside the ring. And Solo Sikoa actually, you know, this almost looks like the name of a song. The spinning solo on the piano. It almost sounds like a lyric from a country song. The spinning solo on the piano. That's the spot. That was fucking great, man. I tell you, you know, you remember the symphony matches, you know, other than maybe like that giant horn that Braun Strowman played that time in a couple of spots. You know, they were kind of like Shangata. Tonight was good, man. But why, Elias? Why start with the headlock? That ruined it for me. You ruined it, damn it! All right. Let's talk a little bit more about Raw tonight. And we got an announcement. Should we throw the announcement out now? Should we bring it up now? Why not? Hey, a lot of you out there loved the first three podcasts for Forbidden Doors. And we got on a topic recently about Matt Riddle. And I expressed my honest thoughts about the Matt Riddle situation. I've been a wrestling fan since 79. But not only that, my entire life and doing these shows 26 years, one thing I always promised all of you out there, authenticity, honesty, no clickbaiting, and talking to you like we would talk in real life. You look at things not just based on how many hits I could get, how many likes I could get, but if something doesn't smell right, doesn't look right, you know, even if it's an unpopular take, speak up about it. And when those reports came out about the Matt Riddle accusations, you know, it just, something seemed odd about it, especially the way that WWE was portraying him on TV still. And then you saw so many podcasts backtracking on the words cocaine and Molly and ecstasy. That day, everybody and their mother was writing that shit. And I noticed people were intentionally avoiding those words. And the reason being is because I think people realize, uh-oh, what if this is wrong? And then I revealed to you all where that original news aspiring to be journalist got the cocaine and ecstasy references from. It was from someone who made that accusation about Matt Riddle back in the summertime. And basing that report on somebody's tweet without not having the actual confirmation is reckless. It's disgusting. Then you start doing a little deep dive into some of the women that are making these accusations against Matt Riddle, and something doesn't add up there either. You make some very wild public, you know, accusations, but there's no specific examples behind it. And me, look, I don't try to come off as this major street guy that knows the in and outs of everything, but I live in New York my entire life. I went to clubs in the 80s and 90s. I saw Jersey Shore people 20 years before Jersey Shore, well, 15 years before Jersey Shore was even a thing. You saw players, people trying to talk anything possible to get laid, lie, manipulate, this and that. And, you know, yes, in this day and age, you know, things that you would consider just your friends being a dick towards you when you were a kid is now considered bullying. You know, I talked about it when I was in kindergarten, when I pulled the pigtails of a girl that I had a crush on in kindergarten. Today, it would be considered assault. I would get suspended. I showed you the picture of me in high school squirting a water gun in my friend's face. My friend was laughing. We couldn't stop laughing. Now in 2023, I get suspended and possibly arrested for it. A fluorescent green toy gun with actually a plug. It looks like a butt plug on the back where you open it up and you fill it up with water. You know, so with all due respect, if you're going to throw those accusations out there and be very, very, very vague about it, he hurt me. He lied to me. He told me we were going to do this. I'm like, man, this just sounds more like, you know, maybe Matt Riddle was a player. Joey Ryan comes off as a player, you know, and at some point, maybe some people are just sick and tired of being a player. Or maybe they just mature, they get older. And maybe they realize, you know, I got to calm down a little bit. You know, sometimes people go from relationship because of depression, because they can't be alone. I mean, how many of you heard about people dating people and it's because they're on the rebound? And, you know, you start hearing a little bit more about some of these women. And I said, with all due respect, it sounds like, you know, women who feel like they were the one, that they were told this, that they told, he told me he loved me, and then he's fooling around with someone else. Well, you know what? You know, unfortunately, you didn't meet the right person. That's not a crime, though. And a lot of this shit didn't pass the smell test. And all I did was put it out there as I saw it. I didn't make any, you know, wild accusations, but, you know, the one person that I never put in that category was Misha Montana. You know, and the reason being is, look, I don't want to get into specifics. I'll let her tell a story. But, you know, when a year ago you got a hole in your heart and you get a stroke, you have to get heart surgery. I'm not sure, especially when you have like a kid that's 5 or 6 years old with cerebral palsy, I'm pretty sure that you're not going to have life-threatening surgery and be blowing lines. And then this is what convinced me about it. Jordan Mechs, adult film star, who was with Matt Riddle earlier this year. She went on social media about 2 weeks ago, and she said this, and I quote, "Try to imagine for 1 second the man you've spent the last 6 months with, who said I love you for the first time 2 months ago, is all of a sudden making out with someone who is in your industry. I don't even want to talk about that today because that's kind of laughable. You know, oh my God, I can't date anybody else in the insurance field, in the industry, the adult movie industry. And then rather than keeping plans for Christmas and New Year's, he's going to rehab, okay? Now, this is the most important part about it. And this is the thing that, with all due respect, I don't know Jordan Max, but when I read you what I'm about to read you, you're going to understand why what's going to go down in about 2 weeks is going down. She writes this, and this is very important. She says, and I quote, "I'm not mad that he's in rehab. He told me he quit drugs. Then to find out he is A, with another girl, B, doing those drugs with her, and C, failing drug tests, and he has to go to rehab for it." Where did she get that information? Where did she get information that he's doing drugs with Misha Montana? Where did she get it? She got it from a tweet. Now, let that sink in a little bit. You have these adults making all these wild claims, and you realize these motherfuckers reading Twitter, and they're basing it on that. And I'm saying to myself, man, you know, I understand it must be very difficult to find a relationship outside of that film industry, because me, I could never date somebody who was an adult film star. Because for me, you know, to think that someone else is sharing my wife. Holy shit, lights went off. Oh my God. I swear I didn't do nothing. Oh my God, that's all. Look, the lights went off. Oh my God, Benjamin, you freaked me out, man. The lights just went off. That's never happened before. Oh my God. You know, I'm making somebody happy up there. All right, let me just wrap this up. Let's wrap this up. You know, when you start analyzing these things a little bit, and someone that is very powerful, talking about someone else who is very powerful, and then you realize they're basing all this on tweets, that is reckless. And the worst part about it is I don't even think she realized how awful that comes across. You know, she's mad that someone else in the adult industry is dating him. But it's okay for her to accuse his current girlfriend of doing drugs with him without no proof whatsoever. So anyway, bottom line is this. Podcast Forbidden Door is happening. It's going to happen in about 2 weeks. And it's going to be Misha Montana. Misha Montana will be coming on. I spoke to her a few times already. And, you know, I just want to mention one tweet that she wrote earlier today. And she wrote to me and she said, and she did this publicly. We talked privately, so I already knew this. But she said, "I can't tell you how much I appreciate your integrity, respect, and genuineness. I'm truly looking forward to having this conversation and providing my perspective that few people have heard. Thank you for allowing me the space to speak my truth and end my silence." We're going to talk about what's been going on. We're going to talk about a little bit of a backstory. She's a wrestling fan. She's actually worked some wrestling stuff. She did XPW. I mean, shows you how old I am. I mean, I did behind-the-scenes stuff at XPW 20 years ago, and she's doing stuff now. Makes me feel really old, but she's coming on. And we're going to have a conversation, just like I did with Jason, just like I did with Joe and JD from New York. Casual conversation, but she is going to talk publicly about some of the shit that's been going on. She's going to give her side of it. Now, I want to make something perfectly clear. If you know me, if you followed me going back to my hotline days, or even if you followed me the last couple of years, something that you know straight up about me, I am 100% authentic. What you see is what you get. That's why I needed to do video so bad a couple of years ago. You know, just hearing me for 18 years and this, or 20-something years, and this perception of what you only hear with tongue-in-cheek humor, right? People see your eyes. People see your face. People see your reaction, your mannerisms. They can tell, you know, who more about a person when you see them. So the thing is that, you know, I already told her straight up, look, I get it. if Matt Riddle doesn't want to talk about this publicly, I'm not going to drag it out of her. So if people out there think that I'm going to pull gossip and dirt, it's not happening. She's going to talk about everything that's gone on, all the accusations, all the wild claims. But I'm going to let her do the talking, and whatever she wants to reveal, she can reveal. But I didn't even need to say this to her. She already knows it out of just, you know, her, you know, just relationship. That's relationship 101. You don't try to speak for someone else. So she's not going to be the agent for him, the mouthpiece for him. She's going to talk about a few things. I already know a lot of what's going on with this situation. I won't say a peep of it publicly because it's not my place. It's very, very personal. It's very private. And we have no right to try to squeeze it out of someone because we are curious, that we must need to know. So I'm going to talk to her tomorrow night during NXT. I got to give her a call. And we're going to set something up next week. I will tell you right now, it is not going to be live. We are going to pre-record it. And the reason why we're doing that is because, number one, she's in California. There is a time difference. So I want to accommodate her. Don't worry about me. You know, even if it's late at night, I pop an Ambien, I'll be fine. But another reason being is because if we have a conversation about something and afterwards she feels, she exposed a little bit too much, or she might have said something that maybe Matt Riddle himself, you know, if he doesn't want to say it, neither should she. If there's something afterwards, she's like, look, could you take that out? I'm going to take it out. So it's going to be good. I promise you, it's going to be a fun conversation. It's not an interview. I don't do interviews. I have conversations. And you're going to get to know her a little bit. Very, very down to earth. She comes off very, very cool and authentic. You know, that's the cool thing about it. If I thought she was lying through her teeth, and understand something, I never got that vibe from her. When I talked about this 2 weeks ago, you know, we started getting into what the other women were saying. You know, if you go back and you listen to that, watch it closely. I never ever threw her in there because there was nothing pointing that she is in that same category, or, you know, just things about her. So, but again, you know, I don't know her personally. So, but the vibe that I get, and usually my judgment's pretty good, that, you know, she is straight up legit. And she's, I could tell you, a little bit pissed off also, and hurt by some people out there basing accusations on other people's tweets. That is so reckless, and that's something that we've talked about for years. All right, let's move on. And yes, we will definitely be talking about this tweet, because mental health is a very, very important aspect of this. And again, I don't want to jump the gun, but understand that, again, as I said earlier, I'm sure you all know someone who may jump from person to person to person to person, and it's a lot of it because of insecurity, depression, loneliness, can't, you know, be around someone, you know, be alone, always have to be involved with someone. I'm not saying that that's the case with either one of them. My point is that when you read that he's in a better place and she's in a better place, you know, yeah, that actually is a very important deal. Being in a better place, that's something you usually don't make up. That's something you usually don't lie about. If you notice, you know, when you truly feel you're in a better place, you know, you want to tell the world. Very few people will, you know, they'll try to fake a smile when they're not smiling. But, you know, when you write it a certain way and you come off a certain way, it's very, very hard to. And why would he come out and just say that? You know, wouldn't you think if he was going to say anything, he would just say, I didn't do the things that these women are accusing me of? Don't you think that that would be 1,000 times more important? The most important thing for him to say is that for the first time in a very long time, he's in a better place, mindset-wise. That was the most important for him to say out there. And that shit means a lot. That means a lot, because there's 1,000 other things that you and I probably would have thrown out there before we would have said something like that. So pretty cool. Pretty cool. No, we're not talking about Karen Jarrett, for the simple reason that the woman, Deanne, that she mentioned, that's an old news story. She was arrested for stalking Kurt Angle almost, what, 20 years ago, whatever it was. I think she stalked Ric Flair as well. Kelly Kelly's already denied what Karen Jarrett said. So, no, I'm not going to spread gossip because people already involved are shooting it down. If you all want to know what I'm talking about, just Google it. So, all right. Let's get back to Raw a little bit. One of the most important things coming out of Raw tonight is this. Tonight on Raw, they started vignettes, the road, pun intended, to his return, Cody Rhodes. And this is a look at Cody Rhodes, his road to recovery. And this is very important because his rehab is going excellent. As of now, Cody Rhodes returning at the Royal Rumble is almost, I don't want to say guaranteed because there could still be bumps in the road and complications. But as of right now, Cody Rhodes will be in the Royal Rumble. And yeah, he's going to be going Hollywood. He will be going Hollywood. So that is a good thing. Cody Rhodes, all points are Royal Rumble. And these vignettes are designed to start hyping up, anticipating his return. So that's a cool thing. Now, unfortunately, someone who will not be in the Royal Rumble is AJ Styles. I don't know if you're all aware of it, but AJ Styles suffered a broken ankle. He went on social media to let everyone know the good news is that no surgery is required, but it's going to take time to recover. He says this is the longest that he will ever be outside of the ring. Thank you for the prayers and the get well wishes. So AJ Styles will be out of action. Now, some people are writing 4 to 8 weeks. Yeah, maybe 4 to 8 weeks for you and I, who sit on our asses for the majority of the time. But this guy, you know, jumping off ropes and landing all of his body weight, you know, plus gravity and everything else, it's going to take probably 3 to 4 months. You know, WrestleMania, I think, is still a possibility for AJ Styles. But believe me, they're not going to rush his return. They don't need to. I'm sure AJ Styles is going to go nuts in a week or two. He's like, oh, I want to return to the ring. And he's got the broken ankle. He's got to let it heal. And you can't have any setbacks. So we wish AJ Styles all the best, man. But I think 3 to 4 months. And listen, 3 to 4 months is wishful thinking. I mean, this could lead into, you know, late spring. So we just wish him the best. We hope that he could recover. As you saw tonight, Kevin Owens, man, on Friday, his eye looked awful at the end of that tag team match. And, you know, people were wondering, you know, is he going to miss time? Is he going to be good for the Royal Rumble? Not only was he, did he not miss time, he fucking wrestled on Raw tonight and did a lot more than even I expected. And so Kevin Owens, his eye, much better today. And look, they're being a little bit careful. You know, what was said about Friday, and I said it in a watch party, if anybody watches the archive from our watch party Friday, soon as we saw his eye, the first words out of my mouth is, what asshole is going to report that that was a receipt from Roman Reigns from War Games? Sure enough, I mean, you got to just Google it. I can't tell you how many websites in the last couple of days were reporting. I thought that was almost as stupid as them reporting about fans thinking that Uncle Howdy is Edge. What the fuck did they do? Did Edge become diabetic and they cut off half his fucking lower leg? Edge is Uncle Howdy? What did he, is he, like, I've seen 80-year-old Italian women that somehow they lose 6 inches of height. My fucking grandfather, I could swear he was 5'11" when I was a kid. When he passed away, he was 5'7". I'm like, I don't remember him being shorter than some of my ex-girlfriends. You know, so I could see people getting shorter, but not that short. You know, Edge is Uncle Howdy. Fucking people are actually reporting that shit. And they're using fans. Oh, some fans think that Edge is... Yeah, and some fans think that the earth is flat. Some fans think that, you know, we got Martians living in our country. And some people think that autism didn't exist. 25, 30 years ago. I like Lacey Evans, but that was just stupid. I don't know what the hell she was going with that. By the way, little Easter egg tonight from Raw. Little Easter egg. Damage Control. They had a tag team match tonight against Meechan and Becky Lynch. Now, Becky Lynch, when she cut a promo tonight, she was telling Bayley that when I lose, I don't get mad. How did she say? She says, I get better. I get better. Well, you better get better with tag team matches, because she got distracted tonight with Bayley outside the ring. That allowed Sky and Kai to double team Mia Yim at the end of the match. Io Sky with the moonsault. 1, 2, 3. They lose to Dakota Kai, Io Sky. The reason why I keep showing you this picture is something looks rather interesting in this picture. And yes, we're saying this lighthearted. Of course, Bayley, Sky and Kai look interesting. They look eloquent. They look beautiful. But I kind of gravitate towards the left part of the screen. And no, Bobby Lashley did not consult Sammy Sosa's doctors. But if you look at the photo a little bit closer, we see Cedric Alexander and Shelton Benjamin with MVP. And I don't know if that's, no, is that Adam Pearce? I don't know. I don't know. With the hair, it looks like Rene Goulet, which it obviously cannot be. But are we getting a reuniting of the Hurt Business? I honestly don't think so with Bobby Lashley. I know some people are, you know, almost like that little baby from Family Guy. They're online. They're like, I don't think Bobby Lashley is going to reform with the Hurt Business. I'd love it. I would love it. My opinion, I still don't understand why they dismantled them when they did. But if they were to reform with Bobby Lashley, I am all in for it. But I just get this vibe that, you know, maybe MVP manages Shelton and Cedric, and that's it. And remember, we got Omos. You know, Omos is still with MVP. So, you know, it's... I don't think Omos would be the new leader of the Hurt Business. I don't think that. Even though Omos dresses rather dapper, I kind of envy Omos's garb. By the way, in a very serious note, in a few moments, I want to just shout out, pay a little quick tribute to those who we lost in wrestling in 2022. I did a New Year's Eve, and I got a very heartfelt email from a spouse of one of the persons who passed away in 2022 and does not tune into the shows, but just on a YouTube search was looking up tributes and saw it and checked it out, was very touched. And I thanked the person, but that person also said they were very surprised that almost nobody in wrestling paid tribute, you know, to everybody who we lost. And, you know, I know not all of you tune in to the New Year's Eve show. So in a few minutes, I'm going to spend about 3 minutes just giving you the list of everybody who passed away in 2022. As of right now, apparently the list is complete. No one has been able to find anybody else who passed that, you know, that I didn't have on the list. And I did pull thumbnails for everybody. So you will see a picture for each person as well. We'll do that in a little bit. Also, a little preview. Wednesday night Dynamite, this Wednesday, we'll talk NXT, we'll talk AEW, and yeah, we are going to talk about it. Remember, we had CM Punk as public enemy number one. Then I did that Photoshop, and we made Andrade public enemy number two, and that was before the fight with Sammy Guevara. My friends, we now have public enemy number three in AEW. You may not feel it yet. Give it another week or two. It's happening as we speak. I kind of teased it over the weekend. But yeah, after doing a little bit more digging, public enemy number three. Yes, Dax Harwood is public enemy number three. Believe me, the coddled EVPs in AEW are not happy at all with his fucking podcast. I know Dave Meltzer is not happy. I know a shitload of people are not happy. And I'm telling you, you watch the burial of Dax Harwood, at least on social media, you watch Public Enemy number 3 in AEW. So, let's just put everything together with tonight's Raw. Tonight's Raw, the two matches that were hyped tonight was Alexa Bliss challenging Bianca Belair for the Raw Women's Championship. And we had tonight Seth Rollins challenging Austin Theory for the United States Championship. And we opened up Raw tonight with the Bloodline minus Roman Reigns. They showed up in the building. Now, before I show you just four photos from what went down at the beginning of the Raw, I want you to just look at this picture and look at it closely. You know, on the screen, we got Adam Pearce. He's in the back with the Street Profits, Kevin Owens, Dolph Ziggler, Mustafa Ali, the OC, Cedric Alexander, Shelton Benjamin. They all want revenge on the Bloodline. Keep that thought in your brain. So tonight on Raw, the intro is interrupted because we get the UC World Order. They show up. They are not happy. Sami Zayn, we're taking over. They're causing chaos. This leads to what we wanted to see last week. They were a week late doing it, or 2 weeks, because last week was the best of. But we had the roster come out, a lot of members of the roster, and they're getting into it with the Bloodline. Adam Pearce comes out with security. He is not happy at all. And Solo Sikoa starts beating up security people. And Adam Pearce announces, you want to be part of Raw so bad tonight? You're all going to have a match. So we have two matches tonight that stemmed out of what went down. Now, the funny thing about this, with all due respect, let's just call it like we see it. I go back to the picture I just showed you. Kevin Owens, Street Profits, are so mad that we get Kevin Owens and the Street Profits versus Solo Sikoa and the Usos. Oh, excuse me, we get Sami Zayn and the Usos. All right, that's a six-man tag. And then Elias, because he was out there too, he wants revenge on Solo Sikoa. He's so pissed off. He doesn't want to just have a match. He wants to have a street fight. And Adam Pearce gives Elias a street fight match against Solo Sikoa. And I'm looking at this, I'm like, sorry, Ali. Yeah, I don't think so. You know, like, I felt bad for the OC. I felt bad for Shelton Benjamin, etc. I felt bad for Mustafa Ali. Dolph Ziggler, and they've done some with him today. You know, but it was kind of, like, ridiculous. Like, you know what was ridiculous about it? Go back and watch it. By the way, it's getting cooler in here. Thank God. Do you like it darker like this? I'm just curious. That never happened before. That's kind of creepy. When Elias is granted his match against Solo Sikoa, go back and look at the reaction of Mustafa Ali and Cedric and Shelton. And they're like, they were like satisfied. I'm like, you idiots. Like, you ain't got no match. Like, they're just like there and they're like accepting, like, you fools. Adam Pearce didn't give you nothing. Cedric, he got Rip Fowler of the Schism for main event. You know, Cedric, hey, thanks for doing what you're doing, trying to help everything out. Yeah, you know, you'll get a main event. You had your main event match against Rip Fowler. All right. Alexa Bliss versus Bianca Belair. Ended in a disqualification. Bianca Belair is still your champion. Now, I'm not sure how I feel about this. First of all, if I was Alexa Bliss, I would be suing your psychiatrist. Remember all those skits with those psychiatrists? That fucking psychiatrist did nothing. They should do a segment where she shows up at that office and Sister Abigail's that fucking psychiatrist right on top of one of his glass awards. All those segments meant nothing. Because remember, she was exposed. You know, it's like she got vaccinated from Bray Wyatt and all this other shit. So tonight we get a decent match. Even though something felt off about Alexa Bliss during the whole match tonight, if you look and you watch it closely, timing was off. I don't know if it was nerves. Maybe it's just, you know, being off for the holiday 2 weeks or a week and a half. I don't know. But the match seemed off tonight. But in my opinion, honestly, it fell off the fucking rails. Because as Alexa Bliss is dominating in this match, she is on the top rope. She looks into the crowd. And my friends, is this David Flair? David Flair at ringside wearing an Uncle Howdy mask that you could buy at the concession stand. And Alexa Bliss is mesmerized. That's not David Flair, by the way. I think David Flair would be like, oh, my God, I wish I could still have my hair from 2000. That is not David Flair. But when I looked at that, I was like, that's either Darby Allin or it's David Flair. But then I remember Darby Allin, even though he's the toughest son of a bitch in wrestling right now, Darby Allin has arms the size of a twig. Darby Allin wished he had guns like that. It was just a random, like, fan. We got a picture of this guy, by the way. Oh, wait till you see his face. You're going to get creeped the fuck out. In fact, people out there, I guarantee you, you're going to see news sites saying, like, the identity of the person with the Uncle Howdy mask. You know, it's not a wrestler. Apparently, it's just a fan that was a guest of the show, and they said, hey, you want to be part of the show? They even had the security guard whisper in his ear, now just stand there and stare, and don't react, and don't do nothing, no matter what Alexa Bliss does. Even if she tries to punch you out or kiss you, do not react. And a motherfucker, did I just say motherfucker? Motherfucker just stood there, and Alexa Bliss is getting a little creeped out. Oh, but there's not. That's not all, everyone. Oh, my God, Alexa Bliss. Look, there's someone else. It's Goldberg's son. Goldberg's son. When he still had the flabby tits at 12 years old or 14 years old, he's got an Uncle Howdy mask. So now Alexa Bliss is off the rails. She's like, what the fuck is with these random fans wearing Uncle Howdy masks? And not for nothing, man. You know, they're just standing there. I'm like, wow, you rotten son of a bitches. I don't care. Do you rotten assholes? You're fans and you're just standing there. I mean, why? Just think about it. Those kids deserve to get kicked upside. They're not kids, by the way. They're old. Trust me, they're older than you think. They're not kids. They just look like kids wearing masks. So she sees that and she gets rattled. And then on the screen, she sees the Uncle Howdy logo and it goes up twice and she starts losing her mind. She starts losing her mind. She starts beating up on the referee. She starts attacking Bianca Belair outside the ring. The match ends in no contest. Bianca Belair chewing on some blood capsule that for some reason the blood just stuck there. We saw it 5 minutes later and it didn't move. You know, kind of like 60-year-old men when they can't get it up anymore. 5 minutes later, it still won't move. I don't know what was up with that blood. But she's knocked out. Alexa Bliss is very, very happy at her accomplishments. And all throughout the show, you know, Bianca Belair, they're tending on her. They're checking her out. Medics are seeing if she was okay. She got DDT'd on the steps. Montez Ford can't even concentrate. That would affect Montez Ford's match in the very near future. And look, I thought the spots outside the ring were great. But my friends, in storyline, how come doctors did not attend for Alexa Bliss for something like that? Head first into the padding? Wait, that's okay? That was okay? Maybe that's why she started losing it. It's storyline. I get it. But, you know. By the way, you want to see the identity of one of those people without the mask? I don't know who got this originally. But a few of you DM'd it for me. And I enhanced it as best as I could. I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is. Why is it that whenever someone gets like the first photo of anything, the first sighting of Uncle Howdy, the first sighting of somebody returning, the first this, how come their phones look like they were from 1996? Somebody sent me this earlier and I'm like, what technology are you using? It's always awful. Now David Flair's like, you prick. That doesn't look like me. That is who's... Oh, did you hear that? Oh, no. I got club soda all over my legs, my neck, my back, my pussy and my crack. Oh, that sucked. I'm not kidding. I'm not kidding. Look at this. Look, I literally got water everywhere. This is turning into all of Matt Riddle's ex-girlfriends are like, good, you motherfucker, you fat bastard. You deserve it. Yeah, for keeping it real. Yep, I deserve it. All right. So that's what happened with Alexa Bliss tonight. Yeah, that, let's look at him one more time. I don't know. What was that TV show with the four guys that you, who, wait, whose line is it anyway? I don't know why. Doesn't he look like that one guy from Whose Line Is It Anyway? He looks like that guy. Anybody remember his? Someone said it looks like, Cerebral says it looks like Neil Patrick Harris. That's a good one, actually. Neil Patrick Harris. Yeah, I know. Put the mask back on. My God, he looks so stoic without it. You'd think like security said to him, hey, it's over. You took the mask off already. You don't have to continue looking like a psychopath. He looks like an axe murderer. So that's what we got tonight. So Alexa Bliss gets disqualified. Solo Sikoa with the spinning solo on the piano to Elias. Great headlock, Elias. We get the Usos and Sami Zayn defeating the Street Profits and Kevin Owens. Basically, what happened in this match was Solo Sikoa outside the ring, gets into it with Kevin Owens, distracted, super kick to Kevin Owens. He's knocked out. Sami Zayn is back in the ring with Montez Ford. Huluva kick pins Montez Ford. That surprised the shit out of me because we just had SmackDown where Sami Zayn was pinned. Something else that no one is talking about. Isn't that the first time in 3 years that Roman Reigns technically lost? I mean, few people have brought that to my attention. I'm like, huh. You know, if I was Roman Reigns, I would be pissed the fuck off that Sami Zayn got pinned. So wouldn't it kind of make sense if Sami Zayn got pinned again tonight? That maybe not this Friday because we got a tag title match coming up, but maybe next Friday, the Friday after, you know, we start seeing a little bit of teasing that Sami Zayn is the weak link of the bloodline. But tonight, Sami Zayn got the pin. And it blew me away. I was like, wow, you know, I'm a little surprised. Like, you would have thought the first time Roman Reigns loses in 3 years and it's Sami Zayn's fault, then you want to kind of like use that as the seed that Sami Zayn is the weak link of the bloodline. And tonight, Sami won. After the match is over, continued beatdown. And then we got Sheamus and Drew McIntyre making a save. And they made the save because this Friday on SmackDown, they challenged for the Unified WWE Tag Team Championships. We know what the outcome is going to be, but still, it's to hype up the match on Friday. Happy New Year, Harris, and everybody else. Hope everybody's having a good time tonight. So, Meechin and Becky Lynch, they lose to Sky and Kai. We had Dexter Lumis defeating Chad Gable. Not for nothing. Man, I don't know how to feel about Dexter Lumis right now. I've said it for, you know, for a long time. He was my favorite in NXT. Got to make sure it doesn't explode in my face. I don't know. If you read back, I mean, some of the things I say could be misconstrued as like Triple X. Like, I hope this doesn't explode in my face. It's not intentional. It's not. I've got liquid all over me. Dexter Lumis was one of my favorites in NXT. My biggest complaint is he lost all the time. But I still liked him. Now he's winning and I don't know. The crowd is not reacting. I mean, tonight I was kind of like enjoying Otis throughout the entire, oh yeah! You know, you hear him outside the ring. He sounds like a fat bushwhacker. If you actually hear him, you close your eyes. And I love Otis. And I'm saying that lightheartedly because look, me, I mean, I should talk. But Otis is like the most fun of the match, and Dexter Lumis gets virtually no reaction. And I'm like, man, I don't know if WWE realizes like how awful this whole story. Think about this. There's no sympathy for Dexter Lumis. Remember, the whole storyline is that he got fired and had no money and needed money so bad he went to the devil. He went to the Miz. Then he got his money back. And they make more money because they're investing in the betness. They're playing cards and all this stuff. And then Johnny Gargano puts up the money and he gambles and he loses. With all due respect, everyone, how many times do you see YouTube videos flash up on your recommendations list? You know, lotto winner loses it all in 3 weeks. Lotto winner files bankruptcy in 6 weeks. Dexter Lumis got all that money in storyline and he gambled. Why would anybody show sympathy that Dexter Lumis just lost it all again? Like, I have no sympathy for the guy. I don't know. And again, you know, everybody says, oh, Triple H, savior, you know, the evil Vince, die already. You know, you look at some of the creative that's in, that's been going on. It's not anything different. People tried to give this vibe. Look, the energy, the hope, you know, the creativity. You know, maybe Dexter Lumis, not on TV, but maybe he needs to speak out in the back a little bit more to Triple H. You know, maybe we should try this, or maybe we should do this. Because I don't know, whoever's coming up with that idea, what they did, like, I don't know, man. It kind of backfired, in my opinion. That crowd was pretty active tonight. And the Dexter Lumis, unless they all got up for pretzels. I mean, they just, and I didn't feel it at all either. I did not find myself interested in this match at all. I did like the storytelling of Montez Ford with his mind off the fact about his wife. Because, look, even though, like I said, you know, people should have been concerned about Alexa Bliss also. But, you know, Montez Ford showing concern for his wife, you know, that's an awesome thing. And the fact that he didn't have his eye on the match. Now, does that lead to a storyline between him and Angelo Dawkins? I'm not saying that it does, but you could picture Angelo Dawkins like, look, man, you know, this is not, you know, this is not kids play. You know, look, your wife is strong woman. She's, you know, big boy. I don't know if you say it like that, but got to keep your eye on the ball. You know, we got matches to win. You know, we got, you know, titles to win. And, you know, you got to have your head in the game. Will they go that route? I don't know. Psycho says gambling is an addiction. I don't think they ever got to that point where Dexter Lumis was an addict. You know, I guarantee we've all been there at some point. You never played cards before, or maybe you go to a casino for the first time. You walk in with $100 and you sit down at like a slot machine or a gambling table and you suddenly win $200. And you're so fucking excited that you are guaranteed that you're going to triple and quadruple your money. Instead of betting a dollar a game, you throw $10 down. You tip someone, you give the bartender $10, this and that. And you start, I'm winning. Yeah, here's $25. And then 3 minutes later, like, it's all gone. So, yeah, Dexter Lumis did not get into addict territory. But why would you have any sympathy on the guy? You know? And we saw a video package for Bronson Reed tonight, but he was not there. And here's a little sausage. WWE is considering a name tweak for Bronson Reed. The reason why I used the word tweak, you know, strategically, because, you know, it's not necessarily a full-blown name change. They're thinking of a nickname. I don't want to compare it to Meechan, because Meechan is more of a reflection of like her attitude and everything. Look, she's not a psycho in real life, you know, but she is head bitch in charge. They're not going to use HBIC on TV, but they're trying to figure out if they're going to tweak Bronson Reed's name, maybe give him a nickname. I don't think they'll just call him Reed. I don't think they'll call him Bronson either. You know, it doesn't sound very intimidating, but Bronson Reed, you know, they're not going to go back to Jonah. If for people I were asking, but they're reviewing right now if they should tweak his name. So Austin Theory versus Seth Rollins. I enjoyed the match. Austin Theory has arrived. And one of my 2023 predictions is Austin Theory may win the World Heavyweight Championship or the Universal Championship before 2023 is over. I know that sounds ridiculous right now. Roman Reigns still has those championships, but you could feel that they're putting the jets on Austin Theory. I don't see him getting into any type of a rut in 2022. Who he feuds with is really, you know, the big question right now. You look at that Raw roster. outside of Bobby Lashley, like, who does he feud with? I mean, the Royal Rumble, you know, it's a good time to take the focus off of him. But there's not many names that you could throw out that it would be, you know, suspension of disbelief, a legit serious challenge to Austin Theory's title. And please do not give me Gargano or Loomis or any. No, I don't want to see that. I know the previous storyline. I get it. I mean, I loved the Way stuff. You know, I enjoyed it. But I don't think that would really, I don't think fans would buy into that as much. Omar's asking me, why doesn't Roman use the drive-by anymore? Ask him. I have no idea. I think they keep it simple. Superman punch, spear, you know, that's it. I think sometimes wrestlers use way too many moves that they should keep in the back pocket. And, you know, maybe when something starts to feel a little old, then you introduce something new. I mean, we've seen some wrestlers. I mean, look at Cena. Cena, you know, actually didn't always have the STF, you know, or STFU. I mean, he's had other finishers. Other wrestlers have had other finishers. I think sometimes, you know, wrestlers, like, they keep him in the pocket. That's probably the reason for him. I don't see Cody versus Theory. Hell no. Cody Rhodes shows up at the Royal Rumble. As I said last week, Cody wins the Rumble. Seth Rollins wins the Chamber. Just like the women's side, I think Becky wins the Women's Royal Rumble. I think Rhea Ripley wins the Chamber. You know, the only problem is with both of those scenarios, and I don't know if anybody has noticed it, every single winner is on Raw. Every single winner is on Raw. And what do you do about your Sheamus, your Drew McIntyre, and others? I don't know what you do with them. Unless, you know, you have something where maybe Theory feuds with Sheamus or Theory feuds with Drew McIntyre. Maybe you do something and you have it bleed over to Raw. I don't know. But I think Cody and Seth are going to be your Rumble and Elimination Chamber winners. And I think Becky and Rhea will be your women's Rumble and Chamber winners. But the match tonight with Austin Theory and Seth Rollins was excellent. We did have a ref bump at the very end of the match. Another ref runs down to the ring. It's funny, when the ref started running down, I thought it was like Bobby Lashley. And then I realized, well, he's white. And then I realized, oh, he's very short. And then I saw the shirt. I'm like, oh, okay, it's just another ref. I thought somebody was running down in the ring to get involved in the match, but it was another ref. And with the ref, with his back turned, Austin Theory with a low blow, ref turns around, Theory hits Seth Rollins with a low chop block. And while Rollins is holding his leg, Austin Theory goes A-Town and gets the pin on Seth Rollins. Listen, I remember all the frustration about Seth Rollins not winning gold in years. There was a lot of frustration. That interview that he did with Ariel Helwani, that still is very, very strong in my mind. The tweet when he complained on social media, and when Seth Rollins told us fans, you know, hopefully one day they'll hear me, and Triple H wrote back and said publicly, I hear you. I'm telling you, that tweet is going to get Seth Rollins in one of those main events at WrestleMania. I do not think Seth Rollins is on any type of losing streak right now. I think in the end, he is still going to WrestleMania. And, you know, we'll see what happens. But that was pretty much the gist of Raw tonight. It was a good show. I mean, it had some moments that were kind of goofy, but overall, I thought it was a pretty damn good show. This Friday, we have the Usos defending the tag titles against Drew McIntyre and Sheamus. As I said earlier, Shelton Benjamin over Rip Fowler of the Schism. Our main event, we had Nikki Cross beating Dana Brooke as well. Yeah, they're redoing that match. Remember the 24/7 title fiasco? NXT tomorrow, the only two things that are announced is Carmelo Hayes is going to be taking on Apollo Crews, which is, you know, is going to be a really good match. And Bron Breakker will be on the Grayson Waller effect. And don't forget, we have the Nikita Lyons photo to give away as well. Wednesday's Dynamite, interesting lineup. We got Bryan Danielson versus Tony Nese. Gee, I wonder who's going to win that match. Samoa Joe versus Darby Allin for the TNT title. The Acclaimed are defending the tag titles against Jay Lethal and Jeff Jarrett. Ricky Starks is going to take on Chris Jericho. Jade Cargill and Red Velvet is going to take on Sky Blue and Kiera Hogan. Expect more of this tease, the split between Red Velvet and Jade Cargill. She's ultimately going to face Jade Cargill, and they're just doing this because really they don't want to put the Ruby Sohos up to Jade. They don't want to put the Sorayas. You don't want to put, you know, the names that you legitimately could take that title. So it's a storyline within a storyline. So that's what's happening there. And then Swerve Strickland is going to take on AR Fox. So that's what we have lined up for Wednesday. No ratings tonight. Everything is pushed back a day because of the holiday. Next Wednesday, AEW Dynamite is going to be in Los Angeles. And I originally posted his sausage, but I had two people DM me and say, no, DT, something big is supposed to happen. AEW has plans for Powerhouse Hobbs to get involved in some capacity in something that Wednesday in Los Angeles. Remember the vignettes? He's walking the streets of Cali, you know, growing up. The only question is, do you bring him in as a babyface now, or is he a monster because his family created a monster? And my gut feeling is he's going to be a heel that they created a monster. You want to show sympathy for Powerhouse Hobbs with these segments, but I just, you know, when I really take a step back, I think to myself, nah, I think he's still going to be a fucking monster. Let's just hope that on February 11th, that Powerhouse Hobbs is still a player on TV. I don't want to see one or two matches over the next 3 weeks, and then he's back on Elevation or he's back on Dark. You know, just because other wrestlers are on Elevation and Dark doesn't make it okay for other wrestlers to really be absent and absent often on regular TV. There's a big difference between AEW YouTube and AEW network television. I concern myself with AEW network television. And you look at that pattern. Remember when we talked about Ruby Soho way back when? Ruby Soho had like, what, two matches on AEW television? And she had like 38 matches on AEW YouTube. And it was just like mind-boggling, like how off that balance was. And then suddenly she was on AEW TV for a few weeks. So go figure, right? So injuries we talked about. Oh, you know what? I'd like to do this. And again, I talked about it on New Year's Eve. And what I did was, and this was not easy, I went on websites, did Google searches, searched month by month of anybody in the world of pro wrestling who passed away. Now, as I did on New Year's Eve, I do it again here. I don't put Tristan Nash on that list because technically he was not a wrestler, but he did work doing stuff behind the scenes for the podcast, and Kevin Nash lost his son at a very young age this year. So we give a little special, you know, shout out to the Nash family on the passing of Tristan. But he is not on this list. So I am going to just give you the names of everybody who passed away this year. Some names you're going to be like, oh, shit, I forgot. Some of you are going to be like, who that? And some of you are going to be like, oh, shit, I didn't even know that person passed away. Because unfortunately, some of those names, you know, nobody talked about. And unfortunately, a couple of days ago, we lost Don West. I paid a little tribute to Don West on a Saturday show. It's a little late tonight, so I don't want to start belting out, you know, your Barry Bonds and all that stuff like that. But I did a little Don West impersonation. I think he'd be proud. So we paid a little tribute to. But let me give you the names. I'm going to go from youngest to oldest. And when we did it on New Year's Eve, it went beautiful. We didn't have any glitches or anything. And sorry if some of the thumbnails are not the greatest quality. Some of these wrestlers go back 40, 50, 60 years in the ring, and there's not a plethora of photos out there. And unfortunately, some history sites, they have the wrong people in the profiles. And me, honestly, I'm not even going to bother, like, hey, man, you got the wrong person. Like, you know, I just fixed my list. So here you go, from youngest to oldest. This is everybody who we lost in 2022. Sarah Lee, the age of 30. Toro Bill Jr., 30 years old as well. Chelsea Bubbles Cartwright, 31 years old. Katsuya Kitamura, only 36 years old, had a little MMA background as well. Jason Strife, 37 years old. Yes, he was seen not too long ago on AEW television. Josh Powell, 38 years old, promoter. Shooter Storm, 39 years old. Adam Windsor, 41 years old. There's Adam. Stefan Bonner, 45 years old. He actually did have some wrestling background, so we do have him on this list. Starman, 47 years old. May he rest in peace. Raziel, 49 years old. Another luchador. Scott Turner, 53 years old. Babe, the farmer's daughter. I'm shocked at how many people reached out to me and said they didn't even know she died. They thought it was just her partner. 56 years old. They both died same age and almost the same exact illness. Tarzan Goto, 58 years old. Don West, 59 years old. Mickey Henson, 59 years old. Bubba Monroe, 61 years old. Hey, yo, rest in peace, Scott Hall. Stu, see, that was Super Muenico. See, we did screw up. There's Bubba Monroe. There's Scott Hall. There you go. We didn't have Super Muenico on there. Scott Hall, 63 years old. Candy Devine, 63 years old. So many people were shocked when I said this guy was in ECW for a little while. Death Row 3260, 63 years old. They want him like a new Jack. Rocky King, 64 years old. Masashi Aoyagi, he died at the age of 65. Gato Volador passed away at 66 years old. Rest in peace. Mike Masters, 66 years old. Big motherfucker. Flamboyant Freddie Fargo, 66 years old. Jason the Terrible, 67 years old. Chucky El Diabolico, 67 years old. Yeah, midget wrestler, played Chucky. Tim White, 68 years old. Bobby Lane, 69 years old. One of my favorites back in the day, Matilda the Hun, 70 years old. Alvaro Melendez Tibanez, with my favorite character name of all time, he was better known as Black Man, 73 years old. The Zebra Kid, 73 years old. Antonio Inoki. Oop. Yeah, we got another screw up. Dave Heppner, 73 years old. Can't leave Dave out. Oh, my God. There you go. Antonio Inoki, 79 years old. Ernie Moore, 82 years old. Rick Hunter, 85 years old. Yeah, now we get to black and white photos. Peppa Martin, 86 years old. Jean LaBelle, beloved. 89 years old. Why does that not look like him? That looks like Sailor Jim Clark, 93. There is Jean LaBelle. Yeah, the photos are a little wacky tonight. We had two out of place. Jean LaBelle was 89. Sailor Jim Clark, there he is, 93 years old. Sailor Jim Clark. So that is your list. Yeah, we're back to Sara Lee. So anyway, rest in peace to all of them. Wanted to make mention. So Terry says, what happened to Barry Bonds? Nothing happened to Barry Bonds. Just Don West, when he used to sell baseball cards, he used to get excited about Mark McGwire cards and Barry Bonds. And when he would pull like a Barry Bonds card that was still like very valuable at the time, he'd get very, very excited. He'd be like, Barry Bonds! Look, everyone, Barry Bonds! So, yeah, that's why. So, not everybody, you know, whenever I say it, I don't blame you. Some people are like, wait, something happened to Barry Bonds? No, that's just Don West, super excited. By the way, thank you to everyone who sent me bloopers. Don West bloopers from Shop at Home and some of the other Shop at Home ones. Some dickhead that used to work for Shop at Home. Remember the swords they used to sell late at night? This moron was flinging around a sword and he banged it and piece of the sword flew up and nailed him in the stomach. He had to go to the hospital. Moron. Then you got like people like with the coin displays and they get a little bit too cute and the fucking coins fell everywhere. So, yeah, rest in peace to all of them. So, all right. So we are at 76 minutes, right about what I wanted to do for tonight. So once again, I want to thank you all for a really fun 2022. I'm really legit looking forward to 2023, not just doing the shows, but being able for all of us to live and go through at the same time what is going to happen in the world of pro wrestling. And it's not just WWE and AEW. You know, it's going to be really interesting to see what happens with Sasha Banks. Now there's rumors that Naomi may be accompanying her to Japan as well. I still think that they're both in WWE before the end of 2023. Absolutely. Let them make as much money as they can the next couple of... By the way, we're going to talk about Mandy Rose Wednesday. People thought I was full of shit when I said Mandy Rose is about to make $1 million for the month of December. No, DT, no, add it up. It's only 300,000. No, she actually made the million. And congrats to her, man. Congrats to her. She wasn't making anywhere near $1 million in WWE for a year. So she takes a little time off, you know, doesn't do anything, you know, that she doesn't want to do. I have seen some of the photos, and I don't think that they're raunchy in any way. I also do believe that her page, she may have to do more like live streams and Q&As and personally interacting with viewers, because I think just posting ass shots and around the pool and negligee, I think after a month or two, I think you're going to get people to be like, hey, I got my fill. You know, I got plenty of photos to look at. You know, I don't think I need to see more. And look, she will not go broke. But I think, you know, look at Toni Storm and others. They broke bank when they first set up their pages. And then after a short amount of time, you know, the numbers really, you know, they evened out, but it was nowhere near what it originally started as. That's why you don't hear anything about those other pages anymore. But right now, she's making her money. She's putting out content. She could be very, very creative. And listen, I know it may sound ridiculous, but even if she just shows like some of the things that she does in her personal life, you know, and she could be clothed in some kind, I don't think people would object to that. I mean, they want to see, obviously, the goods, but she definitely could keep that going for a little while. The only thing I think people need to understand is, you know, like, we understand now why WWE would not allow it. And it's not, you know, anything sexist. It's not double standards. It's not, hey, you told her to be sexy and she did, now you let her go. I think people understand now, business-wise, why they had to do this. You know, it would have set a precedent for so many other people on that roster to follow the path of Mandy Rose. And then what do? With all due respect, you got a whole bunch of women in NXT more than anything else and a few on the main roster that are getting a little bit very revealing. And then you got some advertisers and sponsors and investors that, hey, man, you know, this isn't, believe me, there's a lot more to this that you and I will never even understand. But it's very complicated. But look, she's making her money. I want to see who else leaves pro wrestling to go do this for a little while. Because, look, as much as I miss Mandy Rose in a wrestling ring, trust me, I don't think she has any issue with, you know, letting her body rest and recoup a little bit. And in the meantime, she's still interacting online and making a boatload of money as well. And if she decides to go to AEW, if she decides to work an indie show here and there, she could still do her wrestling thing and be able to do this too. But I think at some point, you know, a WWE return is possible. So, all right, everyone, if you enjoyed tonight's show, smash that thumbs up. I appreciate all of you. I have two shout-outs, special shout-outs that I just wanted to make. Ronnie C., do I think Cody Rhodes returns to the ring before the Royal Rumble? Thank you for the 10 spot. No, I think he returns at the Royal Rumble. I don't know if he'll be number 30. You know, there's some people that think The Rock is going to be number 30. I don't know if The Rock is going to be in the Royal Rumble. I think John Cena is a much more likely candidate to be in the Royal Rumble. I mean, Roman Reigns is not in the Royal Rumble. So if The Rock is in the Rumble, I don't want The Rock winning the Rumble. And who's going to cause The Rock to be eliminated without it turning into a feud? So I don't see The Rock, but Cody Rhodes, I think his first match back is in the Royal Rumble, and I think he wins it. I really do. And Big Sal, thank you for the five spot. He says, props on getting Misha Montana for Forbidden Door 4. Any idea what day I'm going to do this? He definitely doesn't want to miss this one. Well, first off, and I'm not saying this to be nice, I do not consider it getting Misha Montana for Forbidden Door 4. This was never the plan. I never intended it. When I talked about the Matt Riddle stuff, I gave you my honest viewpoint on how it was perceived to me. Something didn't make sense with Matt. Yes, people have pointed out to me, you're the only person on any of the shows that from day one said something doesn't add up. And when you saw everybody backtracking on those words, you knew something was up. But at the same time, though, you know, you look at all these accusations and you look at the words and you start examining and then you start seeing a pattern. Everybody else is more concerned about click on my blog, click on my website, click on my show, you know, click this, click that, click this, instead of just saying, hey man, something doesn't sound right here, you know. And I just threw it out there realistically, and it ended up that she checks out the shows, Misha. I had no idea. She checks out the shows even before any of this. And you know, she trusted me that I was going to do the right thing, and she is going to talk about things that she has not made public. So it's not a getting her, because this is not landing her. It's just that I want to give her the opportunity to talk whatever she wants to say. Plus, you get to know her a little bit, you know, because she is an interesting person. She's got an interesting life, interesting career. I think a lot of people have no idea about the stroke and the hole in the heart and this heart surgery she had very, very short time ago. They thought originally had to do with COVID and other stuff. So, you know, it's a pretty interesting story. And then when you start putting everything together, then you understand, like, all right, you know, sometimes you got to look at things in a real life point of view and not just, hey, I could get a whole ton of hits if I do this. I kind of regret using the term dumpster fires. Because I don't, you know, I don't know, you know, what actually, you know, these women had gone through in relationships, but I see how they react to it. And I see this agenda, this revenge that is going on. And in the process, you know, as I showed you earlier, you got that one woman making these claims based off of tweets. That is so reckless. Even if they're true, you don't do that. You know, just like the websites that broke the story exclusive. Everybody thought somebody had a source within WWE that told them, hey, Matt Riddle got suspended for cocaine and Molly and ecstasy. And then you find out that site took it from a tweet that was said in the summertime and then said, oh, he got suspended for substance. Oh, this is what he was doing. Oh, awful. The facts could be the facts, but at least, you know, have substantial, legit sources and just not reading tweets. That's ridiculous. All right. I'm out of here. Much love, everyone. I appreciate the kind words. So if you're around Patreon tomorrow, I will be here live at 10 o'clock. So join me on the Discord. If you want to go to the watch party tomorrow, like I said, from 8 to 10, we're going to give away this Nikita Lyons photo. Everybody who shows up and hangs out for a little while, you don't have to go on stage. You know, just hang out, chat, watch a little NXT. And, you know, my apologies to everyone out there who didn't realize this. They see watch parties on YouTube, and when they click on it, all they see is the host. No. When we do watch parties, you actually watch NXT. You're not watching me. There'll be a tiny little thumbnail of me in the corner, but on your screen is the actual show. So that's the difference between the other watch parties and what we do. You actually see the show. And any of you out there, whether you live overseas or in the United States, if you don't have a cable subscription that gives you online access, just DM me on Twitter or email me, DonTony@DonTony.com. I will give you three easy steps how you can watch NXT, SmackDown, Dynamite, Rampage online for free. Nothing nefarious, nothing illegal, but there's two or three things that you have to do, and you could watch it like everyone else. So, all right, I'm out of here. Much love, everyone. All the best, and I'll see you, you know, either Tuesday on Patreon or Wednesday for Wednesday Night Dynamite. Much love, everybody. Have a good night. Be well.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran every...
Oh, yeah. One more thing. Matt Riddle should be back by the Royal Rumble. I forgot to mention that before.
Everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who've claimed they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.